So Jesus really chose to risk it all to give us free will back. He didn't risk it all that we'd be instantly saved. What he did is he took us back to a place where we could choose to quit eating from that forbidden fruit and let him be God. Let him orchestrate our steps, show us what to do. See, you don't realize complete peace and joy is when God's in charge. You take on control, or you've been controlled. You take on I don't care. You do all these things because truthfully, you were created to have a master. You were created to surrender your will to someone, and it's either God or the devil. That's it. It's how we were made. We can't change it. You were created to have a spirit living in you. There is a place in you where spirits can live. It could be spirits of control, spirits of addiction, spirits that are unclean, spirits of lust, spirits of perversion. See, you kind of are like the hotel for the demons. You know, come on in, hang out, party, yay. Till they start to take your mind, till they take your health, till they destroy relationships, till they put you behind bars. Thank God he's merciful. Thank God he will let us come running back to him when we've been down there in the pigsty. Hallelujah. What a great God. He's so good. He's so good. The more you let the enemy in your house, the more deliverance you're going to have to go through. The more healing you're going to need. The more tapes you might have to listen to. The more you're going to have to stand in prayer lines. Well, get over it and get with the program and start getting free, okay? Quit eating of the tree of good and bad to decide who's worse than you or better than you. Nobody really cares. Jesus died for you. He also died for Hitler if Hitler had chosen to choose him. I think it's amazing that honestly on your deathbed, if you really mean it, you can get saved. Could have lived a whole life of hell. And right before you die, find God. But see, it's not because they lived this whole life of hell, like weren't they cool? That's hell. What a shame to waste your whole life that you could have had God. He makes all things cool. He's a cool God. The church is boring because the devil made it boring. The books of Acts is not boring. That's the church. Those people in the book of Acts, man, they're sitting there just hanging out, jogging along, doing their thing. God says, hey, I need you over here. Boom, they disappear and land somewhere else. They don't need airfare, no security checks, nothing. No passports, nothing. They're just there. And next thing they're this is cool. They're witnessing. God says, I need you somewhere else. They just disappear. It's in the Bible. So if we ever get where they won't let us fly or whatever, I'll just disappear and show up where I need to be. I just want to have the faith to get back. You know, show up in some little village somewhere and like, okay, ready to go home. Like, home, there's no place like home. God, hey, my cell phone doesn't work out here. I don't even know where I am. Does my husband know I'm gone? But that's the book of Acts. That's just part of it. In the book of Acts, the church, do you know how the church started? Do you know how the church started? The church started with an all-night party. That was so wild that the whole town thought these people were drunk at 9 a.m. That's how the church started. The church started with a bunch of Holy Ghost drunk people. Couldn't even stand up and hardly talk. These all drunk. My God, they're drunk. What happened to me is I decided to read the Bible and decided to believe it instead of all the stuff. There's not even a choir in the Bible. There's not one Sunday school class in the Bible. There's just these people in love with God. Jesus just showing up to them. They're casting out demons. They didn't argue and say, are you a Christian? Well, you can't have demons. Devil out. Paul's walking around preaching, talking to people. Some little person with witchcraft is just lottie down behind him saying, oh, most high God, oh, you're the... Finally can't take it. Come out of her. Devil comes out. They get mad at him, start a riot because she used to make money doing fortune telling. Stuff happened. It's going to be cooler now because the world's worse. I got mugged in a parking lot. Crack addict. He got saved, started crying. Cast a demon out of him. Two thugs picked him up, threw him in his car, and took off. All of a sudden, I realized this guy was going to kill me. This is for real. And I prayed for that man like I've never prayed in my life. If anybody got in my van, they would have taken me to a mental ward. I was all over the van praying for that man's safety. Because he told me, they're going to kill me when I come back without your money. Then two guys could grab him and throw him in the van. God's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. Storm or no storm. Big deal. The worst thing that can happen is I get to go to heaven now. Oh, that's bad. If he crunches up my body, God will heal it and get a miracle for his glory. If he puts me in jail somehow, then I'll just have a prison ministry. Folks, this isn't pretend, it's real. My life is so supernatural, I don't know what happened to most of the church. No wonder they're sick. Man, if you know God and you don't live a supernatural life, it's boring. You're just trying to follow rules and you don't even know why. I don't have to follow rules. I don't want to drink. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to have an affair. I don't want to cuss. I don't want to do anything but live for God. And I get drunk in God. When you exchanged the glory of God, which is how he made you in his likeness. See, you are made to glorify God. Satan hates that. So he has people tell you off. He has people molest you. He has people put you down. He has people control you. The devil has people tell you you're no good. The devil has people tell you you're the wrong color. You're the wrong gender. You don't do this right. You don't do that right. Or the devil has people tell you how great you are. And the whole little world revolves around little princes. To where if God ever tells you something, you say, excuse me, God. Do you know who you're talking to? There's a princess here. Lightning. But see, these things that happened to you were to take God's glory and to replace it with shame. A shame of the things that's happened to you. Ashamed of the things you've done. Some of you have shame for things you haven't even done, but you don't even know why. Cause you to be depressed, oppressed, miserable, lousy. See, Satan's going, this is great. They're made in God's image, are they? Look what this one's doing. Look how sad that one is. This one doesn't even know who they are. This one has no kind of life. Ha, ha, ha. And devil's just going, oh, yeah, Jesus came and died. Oh, big deal. Look at the miserable bunch of them. Really, what glory for God, huh? But God says in his word that his glory shall cover the earth. And there are people who are getting free from what the devil did in them. Free from shame, free from depression, free from guilt. Do you know what guilt does? Guilt comes from shame. I'm ashamed of this. I'm ashamed I was like this. I'm ashamed this happened to me. I'm ashamed, I'm ashamed, I'm ashamed. And the devil goes, that's right. But if you try harder, then maybe nobody will know. If you can prove that it wasn't something you did wrong or that God didn't make, whatever it is, and that's guilt. Now, guilt is the motivation behind your works. Guilt makes you try to please people. It makes you try to do things. And Satan loves it because you're constantly working, trying to feel like you have some value. When the truth is you have all the value you'll ever have. Because your value comes from the very fact that God made you in his image and he loves you. And everything else you believe is a lie. Everything else is a lie. You spend your whole life fighting a lie. Every coping mechanism you take on, everything you do before Christ, before you get free in him, can you get all of that is a lie? Every work, everything to try to make people like you, every seductive spirit to make some guy say how hot you are, every crude, lewd spirit to make some chick say, oh, yeah. All of it's baloney. All of it's just you running around trying to feel like you're worth something. And the truth is, you're worth so much that Jesus Christ risked it all to come and get you delivered and died for you. And then we're still so bound in a weak church that we don't even know we can be free. You have to get free from shame. You have to. See, everybody has to have some shame before the cross. And it's only the tree of good and evil that you're chunking on to make you compare your shame to somebody else's. Now, I know you just got out of jail. And the devil would like to make you think, what are you doing here? You don't fit in. But you know what? You're going to jail for whatever you did. It's no different than Dan, who was brought up, you know, in a halfway decent life, trying his best to be not hurt people in New York City when there was gangs everywhere, and trying by his own strength to keep himself good. It's no difference. Both of it is not surrender to God. It's the same thing. It's all. Before you surrender an area to God, you are going to have shame there. People who can come to a revelation of that shame can then understand the cross. If you don't understand how filthy you are without the cross, just because you ate of the good tree or had a good life based on the world system, you're going to have a harder time getting in. Because people who've hit the bottom know, God, if you really can set me free from this pain, if you really can change my life, if you really can do something with me, please do it. See, the people with understanding of their shame, those are the people who have a hard time believing God could love them or do anything about it. They live under condemnation. And condemnation is the voice of shame. And then the other group don't think they have any. We all have it. We have to have it before Christ, because our glory is God living in us and transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's our glory. That's where everything you want is found. The freedom from everything is found in Christ. It's for real. Don't let people put shame on you. Not when you belong to God. If you mess up, what do? You repent. See, here's God's system. Satan copies God, but he perverts it. God's system is this. Okay, they find me, I live in them. Then I convict them. It means, hey, you need to change this. You're having this problem because of what the devil did in your life. But I'm here to tell you we can change this. That's conviction. Let's say you have an anger problem. And the conviction comes and says, hey, come on, I'm going to help you. I'll tell you what. And you don't know why, but all of a sudden you get a flyer about SOS meetings and you're like, wow, there's rage and anger. And something about it just leaps in you. And that's God going, yeah, this is it. This is where I'm going to set you free from shame. This is it. See, that's how God talks. Don't be listening for this voice. You may mature in God, even when God talks to you clear, and I hear God very clear, but he still makes me not know everything. He wants you to go after him. So conviction comes along. The Holy Ghost says, hey, you're mine. You're great. Don't worry about it. But you got this anger problem, and I'm going to help you. And he walks it out. You don't walk in shame. And then you come and you confess it. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another, and he's faithful and just to forgive you all sin. So you come and you confess it. You know why you confess it? Do you know why you confess it? Because it breaks shame. Shame says, oh, you better not tell anybody. See, I tell me you're in jail because I want to get rid of shame. I don't care. We got people in here who make your jail time look like nothing. But since we don't compare one another, it doesn't matter. But you know what? You get right with God. You get on fire. You let God undo what the devil's done and build you up. And you'll have a prison ministry because you'll have authority there. Because you went there and the devil didn't beat you down there. You found God there. Whatever Satan means for evil, God will turn it to good. How? Because his spiritual law says that wherever the devil took his best shot at you, if you find Christ in it, you can then go and help other people get free.